Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We have a blockbuster program for you today. As presidential candidate Rick Santorum will be joining us in a few minutes, and he'll be talking about his response to the Supreme Court's decision legalizing homosexual marriage in all 50 states across the country. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And of course, this last Friday was really a earth-shaking moment when the Supreme Court legalized homosexual marriage. The dissenting opinions on the court stated that they really weren't doing this by the Constitution. They really were creating a law. And this was a tremendous blow to people of religious conviction and faith across the country, as there is now going to be open season on ministers, churches, people of faith, business owners who have a deeply held religious belief. And in fact, those in the radical homosexual lobby have telegraphed that they will begin to levy lawsuits against churches, ministers, and individuals that will not provide services to them in celebration of their homosexual union. So this is a new day that we're living in the continental United States, and it's one in which there is going to be obviously a strong political debate as we go forward. And here in Cleveland, in just about 5 weeks, we're going to have the first presidential Republican primary debate in Cleveland at Quicken Loans Arena. And here to join us on the phone is a candidate for president in the 2016 election who has already announced from his hometown in Pennsylvania, and no stranger to us here in Ohio, as he won 69 of Ohio's 88 counties back in the 2012 election primary against Mitt Romney. And without further ado is Senator Rick Santorum. Senator, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for your comments on Sunday. You know, really many of us who are ministers and people of faith across the country were really shaken. There's never been a time like this in our country where we see that the institutions of government literally disregard the people's conscience, their vote. I mean, millions of Americans voted in referendums that were put to the ballot state after state, affirming that marriage was between one man and one woman. Here in Ohio, we did it in 2004 with 62% of the electorate supporting marriage, with over 3 million votes cast. And yet, with one vote, the Supreme Court wipes away all of that and over two millennia of tradition that a marriage is between one man and one woman. And this is really just new ground. We don't even know where we're heading into the moral unknown in our country at this time. So thank you for your statements on Sunday, standing up for traditional values. Thank you, sir.
Well, thank you, Chris. I mean, this issue raises so many concerns for freedom in America. I mean, the concern you just highlighted, which is the fact that the court now believes that they have the ability to go in, and you read Justice Kennedy's opinion. I mean, it's not a legal opinion. It's here's the way that, you know, here's my fashion of understanding of what liberty really is, and it's whatever you want it to be, and we should all, you know, just respect everybody and give everybody whatever they want to do, and that should be the definition of liberty, and we should enshrine that in our laws. I mean, that's just it's as Justice Scalia said, I mean, he just, a withering dissent where he just, it's almost laughable. It's almost poetic as opposed to rigorous legal scholarship. And that's a danger when you have people on the court who think they can just do whatever they want to do. And here's the problem. We have this doctrine of judicial review, which allows the court to sort of step in and oversee these disputes. We've historically had them where the court would be restrained in how they would apply the law and impose the interpret the Constitution. There's no restraint anymore, and so this is a very serious problem for the republic. Period. And people on the left are very joyous about the result, But I keep telling my friends on the left, be careful what you wish for. Because, you know, this what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And you can get a whole bunch of conservatives in there who read the Constitution completely differently and change and turn things upside down. So that's number one. And then, you know, the issue, as you mentioned, about the issue of marriage itself, and the idea that I say we've sort of driven the nail in the coffin on the idea that marriage has anything to do with children, has anything to do with men and women coming together and forming a union to have and raise children to continue on society, and that's the reason throughout time immemorial that civilizations have recognized marriage and the right of marriage because of its importance to our society, to any society. And for the last, let's be honest, Chris, for the last 50 years, we've gotten away from it in the heterosexual world. And so it became to the point where gay marriage became possible because heterosexual marriage became not about children after a long period of time. And this is this sort of a natural culmination, which is, you know, really tragic. And I think it's, to me, I look at it as an opportunity to maybe have the debate for the first time, because in states that didn't have referendums, there was no debate. And in the country, there was no debate about what marriage is or should be. It was simply a matter of equality. And if you weren't for equality, shut up. So I'm hopeful that, you know, we can have that discussion. And the third point, which is the issue of religious liberty. As you know, when I was running a movie company full time, we did a movie, Echo Light Studios, that I am CEO of, did a movie called One Generation Away a year ago. I was trying to sound the alarm that religious liberty is under assault in America. And it's a great little film that lays out the concerns. That is a very serious problem in America today. I would disagree with one thing you said. I don't think it's the gay lobby that's the one that's driving it. This is the left. This is the left using this issue, as the left uses issues all the time to try to gain power, to try to gain their point of view and mandate it and destroy the two things that are in the way of the government of the left controlling every aspect of your life. And those two things left in America were the family and the church. And they believe this is the weapon that can really undermine both.
Well, we saw such a display in front of the court when the decision came down. In fact, last Friday, I was on the phone with the Family Research Council, Travis Weber, who is one of the attorneys for the religious liberty sections of the FRC Council. And just as we were talking about 10 a.m., he said, "Chris, I'm looking at the SCOTUS blog. The decision has just come down in a 5-4 decision in favor of homosexual marriage. I've got to go." I said, "So do I. We've got to put a release out." We were actually hoping against hope. In fact, one of your fellow senators, when you served in the U.S. Senate, Mike DeWine, a good friend of yours who is now our attorney general, wrote a 77-page brief to the Supreme Court of why states should be able to govern the licensing of their marriages within their state, the contractual license of marriage. And he did a great argument of a 77-page brief. Yet the court, as you stated, it just disregarded all that. It wasn't based upon law or the Constitution or stare decisis or case precedents. It was just really just out of the blue. And so I agree with you. You know, Justice Scalia, Thompson, Alito, they basically were just throwing the papers up in the air and saying, "What in the world is the use of this? I mean, you people have decided this just based on thin air." And so that, coupled with the response in front of the Supreme Court by the LGBT community. But I think what really shook America, a lot of Americans, when they looked at Facebook that night or on the news and they saw the White House, which is the people's house, which is the residence of the executive branch, which is to represent all Americans, something they had never seen in their entire life, the floodlights of the gay pride flag on the White House now at night. And talk about a disrespectful, in-your-face, inappropriate use of the people's house. Your thoughts, Senator?
Well, I too thought that was inappropriate for the president to divide, politicize. This is the White House. This is not a place where you campaign for things, or this is a place where you try to unite people. And And obviously, and even as the president said, I think the next day or the day after, you know, we have to respect that there are people who deeply held religious beliefs that, you know, that differ on this. Although I guess he said today, I just saw a report, I've been on an airplane most of the day, but I guess he said today, you know that we're going to have to shift, people of faith are going to have to learn to change our views. I mean, these are things that, again, this is a man, Barack Obama is a man of the left. He's a man straight out of, he's read Saul Alinsky's book, and he's tried to adhere to it as president of the United States. And this is part of the tactic of taking people who are your opponents, rubbing their nose in it, and then discrediting them, saying that they're, you know, that they're concerned. Well, he said one day they're legitimate, the next day he says they have to change their ideas. That to me is again, you know, right out of the hard left handbook of how you discredit the opposition and try to shame them into submission.
You know, our fundamental rights of freedom of religion, of individual rights, they transcend this current culture back to our founding as a nation. The reason why this nation was founded. In fact, even when the pilgrims landed, they landed for religious liberty. It even goes back farther than that to the Magna Carta, the intrinsic rights of men, which is being celebrated this year, the Magna Carta, in its anniversary. It goes back, and it even transcends that. It goes back to the foundation of what the Bible states for millennium, that the intrinsic rights of man to be self-governed and to have religious liberty. That is all being challenged now. I mean, we understand the message. You know, it's funny. Some people went to the news that night. They maybe watched Fox News. I actually turned on MSNBC to hear what Rachel Maddow had to say, because I thought, if I'm going to hear what the left has to celebrate, here's someone who's going to telegraph, you know, the magnitude of their victory and my loss as a deeply held, religious, convicted man. And so I'm listening to her talk about the week that was, with Obamacare decision, and then here comes Friday with this magnanimous, this huge decision on marriage, and I think that it was good to hear that from the left to just absorb the level of defeat, so that we can pick ourselves up from that point and saying, okay, now with this reality, how do we move forward? Well, legal experts were saying the states must move now to protect religious rights and liberties, and we see in Oklahoma that Governor Fallon has signed a law that will protect ministers and churches. Over in Texas, we see that the Texas Governor Abbott has also done likewise. You know, I was a little chagrined by our own governor, Governor Kasich, who said, well, this is the law of the land, we need to move on. And I thought, you know, Governor, there are those in the religious community that are not as sanguine as you are about the future of religious liberty. You know, that's not what I want to hear my governor say. Well, thankfully, we do have legislators who are beginning to address this here in Ohio. Many people weren't happy with Mr. Kasich's response. Obviously, Senator, you're running for president. You've announced your candidacy. You're going to be here on August 6th for the first Republican presidential debate, just down the road from where I'm broadcasting this signal today, and that's at Quicken Loans Arena. The nation will be watching. How do you see things shaping up as far as this political race as now there's a lot to talk about in the culture war?
Well, I mean, we have a lot of issues. I mean, this is one of you look at what's going on around the world right now, and everything from the Middle East and Iran and the precipice of we're signing a deal that will give them a nuclear weapon to allowing China to have its way in the South China Sea, Russia, and its impact on Eastern Europe. Now, the president with Cuba. You know, there's only two countries that we have a better relationship on as a result of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's presidency and Secretary of State, and that's Cuba and Iran. Every other country in the world either trusts us less or respects us less. That's a very sad commentary. So you've got international issues. You've got the problem with this country. Look at the Greece on the precipice of collapse. The impact on the American economy. Look at the economy; it's struggling right now. You've got tons of issues because of the failure of left-wing politics, and at the heart of it, as we've talked about, is a decline in the culture. And up until probably last week, the culture would have gotten very little conversation at most of these debates. I'm not too sure you can avoid it now. I'm not too sure that that those who would like to say, well, let's just put it behind us, it's over, I think for a lot of people in this country, as they see what the left really has in mind as far as fundamentally changing this country, I think there's going to be a much more vibrant discussion going forward.
Well, that's right. We're looking at $18 trillion in debt. In fact, I saw up on a report yesterday that they've not changed the numbers on the federal debt. That's been almost frozen now for about 5-6 weeks. What do you make of that?
The only thing I can think of is if for some reason there's a tremendous amount of tax collections going on right now. That usually, by the way, usually in April, the debt doesn't go up because that's April and early May is when, you know, most of the returns come in. And so there may be a period of where for some reason there people take a lot of capital gains. I don't know. I mean, there's it doesn't make any sense to me that maybe for a short period of time, a week or two, maybe a month, it could be the clock could stop. But at some point, that's going to get clicking back again.
Mm. And then, of course, we have the failure of Greece and what that might do to Europe and what might have an impact on the markets here in the United States. I heard that Americans have quite a bit investment in Europe and that if this affects Europe, it will ultimately affect the United States.
There's no question. I mean, we're this country is interconnected globally with our major trading partners in Europe and in Asia. And if Greece defaults and the question of what happens to the other European countries or European Union countries that are also in difficult straits, how are they going to deal with their debt situation? I mean, the default happened. I understand that they've signed this deal that makes them money available, but I don't see how they work their way out of this at this point. I mean, this is as serious a debt situation I've seen, and I don't see it going away anytime soon. Certainly, Greece is pretty recalcitrant about doing things that the European Union wants them to do.
And as you mentioned, the two nations, and that really is startling, that we've had better relationship with during the Obama years is Cuba and Iran. I mean, all of our allies in Eastern Europe, that's really a very tentative situation given what the Russians and Mr. Putin are doing in Ukraine and the threats that they're given to Poland. And these are old alliances that we're actually putting at risk. And then, of course, China, it's a very aggressive move in the South China Sea, stressing the military of our U.S. Navy. And they just don't feel the confidence from their commander in chief. And there's a lot of people leaving the military with low morale right now. And they're actually chasing, in fact, with a lot of Christian people, quite honestly, the restrictions on religious expression in the military, forcing this new dogma of homosexual celebration within the military and forcing it upon our men and women in uniform. This is, even chaplains being restricted or muzzled in their expression of even to conduct their ministry as chaplains in uniform. And this all is taking place during the Obama years. And it's no secret as to what they're doing. They're more of social re-engineering than they are about the fundamental role of government, and that is to keep us safe, protection, and with military. And so there's a lot on the docket, as it were, for the Republican candidates to talk about. And if I might use a basketball analogy, Senator, we just came through the NBA Finals here in Cleveland, and LeBron James.
It was a little short, yeah.
Yeah, a little sorry short. Yeah, well, yeah. We had a couple people injured that could have helped us over the top, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, right. Some others. But it was a great series. We're looking to go get them again next year. But I think the thing that was interesting is that LeBron James, I've been here before, and he had run through the finals, knew what it took to get to the big game. You've already run the gauntlet. You know this is a long race. Even though the poll numbers are up and down on each one of the Republican candidates that have entered the race, you've been here before. You've been a long shot before, but yet you've run the gauntlet, and you were right there, nip and tuck with Mitt Romney in Ohio, and again took 69 of the 88 counties and just came up about 11,000 votes short of winning Ohio in the primary last time. How do you see things shaking out this time for the 2016 race?
The one thing I know, Chris, is it's a marathon, not a sprint. And I remind everybody who's looking at national polls that when I won the Iowa caucuses in January of 2012, 2 weeks before the poll, before I won the caucus, I was at 2%. And on the day I won the caucus, I was at 4%. So the idea that national polls have anything to do with who's going to win Iowa, and of course, once I won the Iowa caucuses, you know, you become one of probably two or three people who are going to be the nominee of the party. And that's what Iowa does. It narrows the field down. Now, because of the size of this field, it may be narrowed down not from 16 to 2 or 3, but maybe 16 to 5 or 6. But either way, Iowa becomes a very, very important state, and winning there becomes huge in a big field like this. And so all of the machinations you're going to see beforehand are really just that, not really meaningful until we get people voting. And that's going to be in February of 2016. And we feel very confident that, you know, we have a strong base of support in Iowa. We have a great base of support in Ohio and 48 other states beyond that. And we have a great grassroots organization across this country. We have a really strong organization in Iowa. And you know, we're very happy. I always say that the best analogy of a sporting event that this campaign is, it's like a cycling race. You don't want to be out in front of the pack on a cycling race because, you know, you get all the wind resistance and everything, all the bugs in your face and all the things that you want to stay and draft in the back. And you just want to be in the pack. You want to be with sort of everybody else. And when time gets to the finish line, you got the energy to go ahead and sprint to the finish. And that's what we did 4 years ago. That's what our plan is again this time around. We feel in good shape. You've seen everybody rise. You've seen so many people, you know, rise to the top of the national polls and then fall back. We've seen three or four already do that.
Yep.
Now Donald Trump's turn to be at the top of the pack, and all of those things will come and go. And you just got to stay focused on what matters, which is first you got to win Iowa.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, of course, Ohio is key in the whole race. And you know that for the presidential, to win the presidency, you have to win Ohio.
Well, that's one of the reasons I announced from a factory floor in Western Pennsylvania, because I wanted to communicate to the people in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan and all the states across the belt of America, the Rust Belt of America, that, you know, we can have a revival belt. We can be the Renaissance belt. We can bring back manufacturing to this country. We have, because of the Marcellus and Utica shale and all the other shale plays that we see across this country, we now have the cheapest energy in the world, which can level the playing field for our American workers to be able to compete for manufacturing jobs. Now all we have to do is get the tax code right. We have to get the regulatory environment right. We have to get the trade environment right. And we have to get the immigration environment right. We get those things correct. You know, we can innovate with the best. We can compete with the best, but we have to have the environment where our manufacturers can be competitive. And I have no doubt that you elect Rick Santorum president, we will be number one in manufacturing again in the world.
Senator, that's a very strong platform, and those are encouraging words that people need to hear. What is the website where people can learn more about your candidacy?
It's ricksantorum.com, and we'll have some details of those plans, and we're going to be laying out even more details as the months go on. It's a little early in the summertime. You don't lay out big policy proposals, but this is 3 seats up. We're going to be laying out some ideas, and the number one priority for us is manufacturing, construction, education, and training for the 74% of Americans who don't have college degrees to be able to get good-paying jobs, to be able to raise a family and support a strong community.
Well, thank you, Senator, for being on with us today. We wish you and your family well. We know it's a very long race. And, in fact, we look forward to seeing you on August 6th here for the first presidential debate here in Cleveland. Thank you, Senator.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Chris. Bye-bye.
God bless. Well, that was former Senator Rick Santorum, current president candidate for the primary of the Republican ticket in 2016. He will be here along with his challengers on August 6th in Cleveland at Quicken Loans Arena. You'll learn more about that. And on the other side, we're going to be joined with Greg Quinlan of Pro Family Network again to talk about the SCOTUS decision on marriage. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Ohio National Guard, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
WHKW Cleveland, bringing the word to Northern Ohio. AM 1220, The Word, a service of Salem Media Group.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back. We're glad that Senator Rick Santorum could join us this afternoon. And let me take a moment to read to you the press release from the Ohio Christian Alliance in the response to the Supreme Court's decision on homosexual marriage on Friday. It reads, 11 years ago in 2004, Ohioans worked to pass a constitutional amendment defining marriage as between one man and one woman. The amendment passed by nearly 62% with 3,329,335 Ohioans voting to support traditional marriage, defining it as between one man and one woman. Today, five unelected judges overturned all that. The court, in its decision, turned on over 2,000 years of tradition that family is made up of one man, a woman, and children. And now, with the court's redefinition of marriage, it is anyone's guess as to where we are heading into the moral unknown and what the new definition of marriage will be. The supporters of homosexual marriage accomplished their desired goal through the courts, something they could not accomplish through the ballot box of democracy. Because the majority of Americans believe that the marriage is between one man and one woman, the radical left has once again used the courts to advance their agenda, leaving many to question, where do states' rights begin and where do they end? As recently as 2003, 32 states had marriage laws that defined marriage as between one man and one woman. And then in just a few short years, through the courts, the radical homosexual lobby began to challenge those laws one by one. And the courts began to overturn existing state law. Today's decision affected the remaining states, which included Ohio, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota, Tennessee, and Texas. States that still maintain that a marriage was between one man and one woman. Today, the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, struck down all the remaining state laws, including Ohio's. What this means going forward is that people of religious conviction will have their rights challenged and suppressed as a result of this new ruling. The Ohio Christian Alliance is committed to protecting religious liberty for individuals, churches, institutions, and organizations that hold to a biblical worldview. Their religious rights and conscience must be protected as the U.S. Constitution guarantees religious freedom. OCA is prepared to work with members of the Ohio Legislature and the U.S. Congress to address these new challenges with newly drafted legislation that will protect these fundamental religious freedoms. The four dissenting judges' opinions were foretelling in a warning in their statements what troubles lie ahead for religious institutions and individuals in light of this newly crafted marriage law by the court. And here to discuss it further with us is the president of Pro Family Network, my good friend and advisor to the Ohio Christian Alliance, Mr. Greg Quinlan. Greg, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Greg, you have...
One thing I wanted to comment about what you just said, you know, it's more than striking down a law in the state of Ohio. It usurped our state constitution. The voters of our state, as you well know, and I worked very hard on that back in 2004, overwhelmingly passed a constitutional amendment making our definition, along with Virginia, the strongest definition of marriage, bar none.
Mm.
And now we have the Supreme Court saying that the state can't, you undermining, overriding, saying that your vote doesn't count, your state constitution doesn't count, the 10th Amendment doesn't count. This is unabashed, out of control court. It's what Thomas Jefferson called the despotism of an oligarchy. We have a group of people dictating to us what is and what isn't. It's an absolute social deconstruction and the erasure of all that of our founding fathers, which was a Christian model. We are based on the Bible.
It was my pleasure to work with you in tireless hours, not only for our state constitutional amendment on marriage, but for Ohio becoming the 38th state to pass a Defense of Marriage Act and to testify before House committees with you. And Greg, you helped lead the charge here in Ohio and then worked heavily on the marriage amendment. This, of course, is a stinging defeat for us. It is one in which strikes to the marrow of who we are and what we fought for. But we're not going to give up. I'm sure that all of us were depressed over the weekend, and there was one or two ways that you could decide to go. You could just strike the tent and kind of pack it in, head into private life and give up the public life. Or we can reengage, pick ourselves back up, and go back at it. And I'm sure that you've had those thoughts, as I did. But it seems as if the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, encourages us, because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. And that's the tenacity, I think, that the church is going to respond to this.
I believe that's true, too, because you still get that. I know you get it, too. People say, well, this is the end times, and we were expecting this, and this is the way it was going to happen, as if we are to do nothing because this is supposedly inevitable. It's our response is how the Lord judges us. It's our response and how the Lord measures our faithfulness to Him. In Luke chapter 19, verse 13, he, quote, "Occupy till I come."
Mm.
He's giving a parable, but it's a parable about Him. The nobleman looking for a kingdom, obtaining a kingdom. Occupy till I come. Well, we're waiting on his return, and we're to occupy till he gets here. And the point is if we surrender, then we're not occupying.
That's right.
We're wrong.
Well, and there's so much at stake. We're not to be selfish in and of ourselves. It's not about us. It's about helping others. I mean, you look around, the children need to be rescued because they're the next target. It's going to be in the classroom where they're going to start implementing books and the rewriting of books, the redefinition of marriage. Many parents don't recognize this yet. Those on social network that are 30-somethings or in their 20s, they see all their friends and their Facebook image changed with the gay flag, and they're saying, well, I don't want to speak up. I don't want to be considered a bigot. But they haven't really considered yet what all this means. I mean, we're talking about transgenders entering restrooms of women. We're talking about children being indoctrinated, that we're talking about the school psychologists sending home a note and saying, well, your daughter actually believes that she's a boy, and we think that this is the course that you should take going forward. People haven't really thought about what all this means yet. They're saying, well, let's just live and let live. That's really not the case here, is it?
No, it's not the case. As you know, and maybe some of your listeners know, I came out of the homosexual lifestyle over 22 years ago. I was part of the homosexual lobby. I was a volunteer with the Human Rights Campaign Fund, as it was called then, HRC. The object here has never been equality. Never. Never. I hope everybody's listening to me. The object of the gay lobby has never been equality. It's been dominance. It's to silence every voice that rises up against what they want and how they want to do it. They are vocally online. You can go find it. It says, take homosexuality off your sin list, as if it was our list. It's not our list. It belongs to the Lord. And
Amen.
The reason why it's there is because it's outside His intended purpose for creation. The manufacturer's guidelines tell us that we can't do that. This is wrong for you. It will cause problems for you. It causes problems with your body, your psyche, everything about you. So this has gone on beyond. And what the plan already with GLSEN and the Gay Straight Alliances in the schools, this has been going on for a long time. I've got a talk that I give, a presentation I give called The Big Pink Plan to Make a Lavender Culture. They had wanted to do this from the beginning, changing the military, which Obama gave them, changing the definition of marriage, which the court and Obama gave them, Obama has done, I don't know, countless executive orders allowing homosexuality to infiltrate every level of the federal government, every level of the federal government. So it is beyond anything that we could have thought or imagined. But we cannot stop. We cannot give up hope, because here's why. We have the truth. See, and they're going to say, well, that's your truth. No, it's not your truth or my truth. It's not their truth or our truth. Truth isn't a definition in the dictionary. It's not a philosophy to be debated, and it's not a college course to take. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. This is how we should respond as Christians, knowing who the truth is, not what it is, who it is. And based on that, we respond to what's going on around us. We cannot surrender. We have the truth on our side. We have our foundational principles on our side. This is why it's so important. I know you do a voter guide. I'm in New Jersey now. We do a voter guide, a very expensive process to do, very time-consuming. But it is extremely important that at all levels, every time there is an election, that the people of God register to vote and show up to vote and stop making excuses. Well, if I vote for this one, it's the lesser of two evils. I'm just being a pragmatist. Vote anyway. Because at least with a vote, you have the right of dissent. You stood up, listen, I voted for you. I expected you to do something, and now you're doing exactly the opposite. And I demand you follow me. I am your constituent. You are my employee, and I expect you to represent my values. That's how it should be done.
That's right. And we can have that influence at the State House and on the federal level. And, you know, to weigh in and to sound off and to let them know how we feel. Now, here on August the 6th is going to be
the school boards. Don't forget the school boards.
Absolutely. A very critical part. In fact, we couldn't have gotten the Founding of American Documents curriculum passed unless we had had a conservative majority on the Ohio State School Board. And, you know, we waited over a decade for that. So elections matter, no, without question. And here on August the 6th in Cleveland is going to be the first presidential Republican debate. It's going to be a crowded stage that night. We just had Senator Santorum on with us. He's going to be here. And we're going to hear from the candidates on a host of issues. Now, this first debate, Fox is conducting it. It will be at Quicken Loans Arena. There should be a lot of folks there that night. We're hosting an event so folks can be joining in. But a lot of people are going to be listening very keenly as to where these candidates stand on these issues. Now, I'm sure you looked at the variety of responses from these presidential hopefuls. Mr. Kasich's response was somewhat weak. Did you see his response on Fox News?
Mr. Kasich is weak on all of this, period. I am not a fan of Mr. Kasich. That's my personal opinion. Doesn't necessarily represent the opinion of the radio station or, you know, Ohio Christian Alliance. But that is my opinion. He's just weak. Mr. Kasich may be a very good financial guy, but on really many of our social issues, he talks good, but his response has been terrible. And I've heard that from many people who, my colleagues like yourself and others, who worked very hard in Ohio. Of the candidates, I know Scott Walker responded well. Mike Huckabee responded well. There were two others that did. Four out of the whatever the field is now actually gave what I would call a principled stance for liberty and restoring values back to our Constitution. This is unfortunately, we are caving to the judges. You know, the talking heads like Geraldo Rivera and a few of the others are talking about, no, this is law now, because the courts can't make law. They're to interpret law and bring a decision, an opinion. That's why it's called the majority opinion and the dissenting opinion. But yet we are acting as if this is law. In our own ignorance, we are allowing them to tell us what to do, how to live, and how to proceed. This is why we cannot surrender. Churches, if you have a... Churches need to adjust their constitution, their hiring practices, their policies, and bylaws and guidelines. If you are a nonprofit organization, a Christian parachurch organization, and you have not done that yet, you need to do the same thing. Because if not, the LGBT juggernaut is coming your way to erase, to change the church. They want to change everything about us, change everything about our society and culture, to be homosexual affirming. So we have this tiny minority that is taking over, completely taking over like an infection. We have to stop it. 1.2, no one is born homosexual. I have to say this every time. There are no replicated scientific studies supporting any specific biologic etiology for homosexuality. And that's the American Psychiatric Association. And I could quote many other organizations, scientific organizations, professional organizations that say there is still no basis for homosexuality. There's no gay gene. There's all the studies that they've done, from the genetic study of Dean Hamer, which is an absolute fraudulence, to the incompetence of the study, the brain study by Dr. Simon LaVey, proving that, which proved nothing. We get story after story, line after line, saying this is all true, incredible theories. Some of them sound, a lie always sounds good, but they're false. There is, no one is born a homosexual. They're taking children's temperament. You have a girl who's better at softball than your son, then therefore she must be a lesbian. Not true. She's just athletic. There's a young man here who's not athletic, and he's extremely talented in other areas. You know, he plays music, and he can draw, he can sing, so therefore he must be gay. That's nonsense. We're taking our talents and our giftings, and we're allowing culture to label them as your sexual orientation, which is bogus.
That's right. And girls normally go through a little phase of tomboy, stage in their life where they're more athletic. They grow and develop faster than boys do, and they run faster. They play, some of the sports a little better than boys their same age. And then they grow out of that, and they start wearing dresses and wanting to look pretty. And it's just a little phase you go through. But you're right. This is a very dangerous time going forward, because now you're going to have these people within the schools, and they're going to be interpreting it with their template of, oh, well, this is a transgender person. You need to be considered of that. And this is, so I really feel for these young couples who are having children, my grandchildren. Now we're going to have 5 by November of this year. And I my kids are raising their families. And, so this is why we began to homeschool. This is why we were adopting Christian schools, when they took God out of the school. No prayer, no Bible reading, no 10 commandments in the school. Well, now it's going to be an indoctrination center for homosexual, the LGBT community.
And Chris, what you just said was so profound, because this is the primary way in which we really can start taking back our culture. Even socialist Finland has absolute school choice. We must, regardless of the excuses, I don't care how good you think your public school is, and if you like it, that's fine. You have that choice. But the money should follow the child, our tax dollars should follow the child, and every citizen in this country should have, and every parent should have the right to send their children to the school of their choice and take their tax dollars to make sure that they get to that school.
And Nevada just passed that, exactly what you just laid out, the state of Nevada, that any child can go into any school of their choice. Their tax dollars are with that child, that wherever they choose to go. And so that's an absolute school choice order over there in the state of Nevada, and we need to pick that up in other states. We're talking to Greg Quinlan, who is the president of Pro Family Network. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
By the Ohio National Guard, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters in this station.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus us fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Two states have already moved forward to protect their ministers and churches with the Pastors Protection Act. That is the state of Oklahoma. That was Governor Mary Fallon signed a law last week protecting ministers from having to perform homosexual weddings. Also, Greg Abbott in Texas signed a similar law earlier in June. Greg, you've looked at these laws. What do you advise states to do at this time?
I think that's the first thing we can do to fight back, the initial response. It's just one of many responses to do, but the first one is to protect the First Amendment. Protect the First Amendment. It's the First Amendment, not the 14th. It was the first one in the Bill of Rights, which is the First Amendment. And of our foundational freedoms, our first principles, it is the first one, freedom of religion, then freedom of speech, then freedom of press, then freedom of assembly. Those in the First Amendment, those that first one is freedom of religion, not from it, but of it. And we have to do that. We have to protect that speech, religious speech. And that shouldn't be just for pastors or for religious organizations, but for all those who represent that. So every adherent who goes to that church, every member that goes to that church, their speech must be protected.
Greg, what's on the docket for you going forward? I know that you've been working with the Family Policy Institute of New Jersey. There's kind of some changes going on there. You're the president of Pro Family Network. What do you see yourself doing here in the coming months?
That's a good question. Right now, I'm working with a lot of people to assess where we are and what to do next. And we're looking at our possibilities. But one thing is certain. Those people who've left homosexuality, that God has delivered, that you've chosen to leave that trap that you were in, you need to speak up. You need to be heard. Churches need to let former homosexuals and those who've left the homosexual lifestyle speak in their churches to bring hope and healing and understanding that homosexuality is a sin like any other sin, and you can leave it. It doesn't mean that you do it with a snap of a finger or one prayer or a Bible verse.
Right.
Renewing the mind is an ongoing process that we will all take for the rest of our lives. So that would be, for me, that's one of the things that I'm doing. But one thing I'm not doing is giving up.
Amen.
And neither can any of us. None of us can ever surrender because we serve the God who wins in the end.
Amen. God bless you, my brother. And, you know, we're so pleased to have you as an advisor of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You've been a great stalwart for biblical truth and standard, and you continue to do so. Our prayer blessing is for you and your ministry as you continue, my friend.
Thank you very much, and God bless everybody. I'm sure I'll be on again.
Absolutely.
The fight continues.
Absolutely. Thank you. Greg Quinlan, president of Pro Family Network. And, you know, Greg's testimony really stands out because, you know, you don't often hear from ex-gays. In fact, they're persecuted within the community. When he said today that you're not born gay, there's no gay gene, he has received so much hate mail and ridicule and criticism because in the homosexual lifestyle, when they hear truth, they recoil at it. And with that, those who speak the truth, in fact, those who have come out of the lifestyle, they want to silence those voices. But there's many. Greg is just one of many that have come out of the lifestyle. One of the men that helped me when I first became a Christian had come out of the homosexual lifestyle. And he continues to this day. He's in fact one of my greatest cheerleaders, saying, Chris, keep on going. Keep fighting for traditional values. Keep fighting for traditional marriage. You know, these are the voices that you do not hear in all of this fog of war that we hear and see in the culture war today. You know, I want to read a verse as we're going to celebrate our nation's birthday this week. And this is a time, it's really troublesome. What we see in Washington, we see how the White House was abused with using the gay color flags on the floodlights of the White House. You know, God is on the throne in heaven. And Jeremiah wrote this to his generation. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7 and 8, he says, at what instant I shall speak concerning a kingdom and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down and destroy, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build up and to plant it, If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then will I repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. You know, this is really a verse for today. This is Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 7 and 8 and through 10. And this is a word to us today in praying for our nation. Pray that America repent. You know, pray for the church to stand up. Pray for your pastor who is going to be facing some very difficult times, and pray for congregations that are going to have to make some choices. I talked to a pastor in Columbus, Ohio, who has had to change his policy. He said, Chris, we used to afford our facility to the community. We can't do that anymore. There has to be at least one member or a staff member in attendance at any given activity that takes place here at an activity at the church. Given the new policy that we've had to enact that will protect us from homosexuals trying to use our facility for gay marriage or for some other activity. This is kind of the sad reality of what churches are facing. But there is a way forward, and we want to encourage you in that. And we have a big announcement to talk about, a pastor policy briefing that's going to be coming up August the 6th right here in Independence. And next week's program, we'll be making that announcement, an opportunity for your pastor to join us for a all-day conference with encouraging speakers. It'll be a free event for pastors, and we'll announce that next week. You're listening to News in Focus. I'm your host, Chris Long, and we look forward to hearing from you. You can visit our website at ohioca.org, and you can also make a contribution there to help us fight religious liberty issues at the State House and on the federal level. God bless you. We'll talk to you next week, and happy Independence Day.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.